You know, there's a great story here in North Texas, a success story. Iron Root Republic Distillery has done something a lot of small businesses can't say they've done, and that is survived over 10 years. It's a great story. A couple of brothers gave up promising careers and became distillers. The better story, I think, though, is they dragged their mother into it. Marsha Licorice is the mother of Texas whiskey. That's the title at Iron Root Republic Distillery, and she joined us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. I'm thrilled to be here.
So your role should have been to talk your fool sons out of doing something like this and giving up promising careers and going into the liquor business, but instead you took off for Kentucky to learn the business?
Yes, I did. You know, I think that when Robert sprung the idea on us, his dad kind of thought he was joking. But, you know, he'd been in industry for a long time, and he said, you know what I always kind of regretted was not trying to build something myself. And he said, you finally got your educations, guys, and nobody can take it away from you. Go for it.
And so how did you get dragged into this?
Well, we were living in right outside St. Louis, and, you know, St. Louis is like 4 hours to everywhere. Guess what? Only 4 hours to Louisville. And so when Robert just finished a law school, we always say he got into the business fast because his apartment burned down and he lost everything he owned. So he had to come home. And we were standing there looking at each other for about a week. And I said, if we're going to do this, we better go find out all about this whiskey, and no better place than Louisville. So yeah. In the car, we jumped and off we went.
And then ending up in Denison, I mean, maybe that's another sidebar remarkable part of the story, because Denison, I mean, of all places, Denison, Texas, for a liquor distributor, I mean, a liquor distillery, I mean, that's about two notches away from the buckle of a Bible belt.
I know, but we were at least 2 inches away because Denison was wet, you know, and Sherman right next door was not. And that was interesting. 10 years ago, there weren't a lot of places of choice. And I always say fate brought us here, that we, Rob went to college in Sherman. And when we were looking for a place, one of his mentors said, have you considered Denison? And when we came up here, everybody in the city was so welcoming, and they were thrilled to have us here. And so it made perfect sense. And then the story of T.V. Munson is, I think, what really sealed the deal.
T.V. Munson, now that's a patriarch of the city, right?
Well, actually, T.V. Munson was a viniculturist that lived in Denison. And what he did is, way back in the late 1800s, he wanted to grow wonderful European grapes, and they didn't grow so well here. So he started grafting them to those Iron Roots of Texas, and he was successful in growing a wide variety of special grapes. And about that time, when steam engines became popular, guess what happened? Those little mites from Texas, they were not from Texas, they were from Missouri, but they traveled from the United States to France, and they decimated the French wine country. And in desperation, they came to the Smithsonian. They sent him to T.V. Munson, and they said, how can you help us? And he said, this is what I'm doing. So they asked him to send the Texas roots actually to France, and they started grafting their grape varietals to it, and he was credited with saving the French wine country.
The Iron Root, that explains the name.
And that's why we're sister cities with cognac.
That's outstanding. Well, you make all kinds of, you make what? Do you make cognac? You make vodka, corn whiskey. Yeah, cognac, port, gin, bourbon, rye.
Well, we make a brandy. Cognac is kind of like champagne. It can only be grown in a very specific place in France. But we do import it, and we do have our sister cities blend of brandy that has both the cognac and the brandy from Texas.
Well, let's back up. So how do you get started with it? I mean, there's a lot of permitting involved, a lot of, I would think, upfront capital that's involved. And then you've got to carve out an identity. What did they do on day one?
Well, day one, they decide the first thing you got to do is learn how to distill. You know, this isn't Kentucky. We don't have all the neighbors that are that have all that expertise. So what they did is they went out, they did some interning with a couple of distilleries. And I think the thing that probably was the most influential was actually they found a cognac distiller, Hubert Germain Rabanne, and went to out to California to visit him. And he was talking about distilling in cognac, and the way he described the distillation really spoke to them. And so actually a lot of the distillation style, Jonathan and Robert adapted to be able to produce the bourbon. So it has been, we wouldn't have this wonderful spirits we do without all of those connections.
But so what about permitting? Is it hard to start up a distillery? The state gets involved, and there's all sorts of government regulations and taxes.
Yes, I think the biggest thing I think when you start that I didn't realize is they have this rule. You have to have an address and a still. That means you have to have a serial number. And then they will look at whether they're going to permit you. So you have already gone down a path a ways and put a lot of investment in before they ever do. But the licensing was fairly straightforward. So as soon as we had all the information and everything we needed, it went fairly smoothly. And then, you know, the financing you talk about, I think that, that's something you really have to have in place to get started.
Sure.
And we had the opportunity to work with our local bank and also the SBA and a lot of, you know, a little bit from mom and dad. And here we are today.
Well, and then from what I know about your industry, distribution is the key, ultimately. I mean, and I see you're in, what, four or five countries and 38 states or something. So you've had to get a distributor, and everybody wants a good distributor.
They do, and they were really hard. And we were so fortunate because when we, they used to make you put in a presentation to them, and then they would invite you to listen to your pitch. And we didn't get invited by Glacier, so Robert picked up the phone and called him, and they said, you know what? We read yours, and we've decided to come visit you. And so we were 6 months old when Southern Glaciers, it was only Glaciers back then, when some of their executives came up, they tasted our spirits that were only 6 months old, and they said, you know what? We believe in what you're doing. And within 45 minutes, we had that contract. And, you know, without a distributor in the spirits business, you cannot sell anywhere. It's a three-tier system. So we were one of the few that were extremely fortunate early on.
Well, and they have good taste. I'm Shelley Stein and I guess Bennett Glazer over there. They're the ones who made Tito. And it sounds like they're doing the same thing for Iron Root Republic.
I mean, I wish they'd make me a Tito, right?
You got to start. Well, you've got the right name. You know, of course, this is the great name. So you've got a great last name to be in your business, Liquor-ish. And
yeah,
Tito,
and
of course, Tito's last name is Beverage. So it's absolutely perfect, I would think. So where do you go from here? I gather you're expanding.
We are. We just had last weekend the ribbon cutting for an additional building, which is a nice dry goods building that will house our bottling lines and our blending facility, and also store our grains and barrels and things. And then in the next couple of weeks, we're going to actually build a second warehouse right on our same property. So once we do that, we can just really move forward on this expansion. And so the only thing about, you know, whiskey is that it takes time to age.
Yeah.
So we got to get it in the barrel and get aging. But we've been extremely fortunate since, you know, in 2020, we had the blessing to be named the world's best bourbon by the World Whiskey Awards. And that kind of just really changed our whole business plan. We went from doing like a 20% increase to about 200% increase with that. And we've had a hard time keeping our spirits, on the shelves. It sells out really quickly, but we've had some opportunities to expand from our Iron Root grain to glass, which is where we started. And that means that our Harbinger and our Promethean, when we start, we do 95% of all the grains that are in mm-hmm. the whiskeys are actually grown within 65 miles of the distillery. But after 2020, we added a second line called Saints Alley, which we use additional source whiskey with our whiskey. And we added Chris Trevino, the Liquor Hound, as a blender with Jonathan, and they create that brand. And then we just expanded to another a label that says it's sleight of hand, which is, a combination of a number of distilleries in Iron Root. So,
well, the story is just great. And you mentioned 2020 a couple of times. Of course, that's the year they put a lot of companies out of business. That was COVID year. Maybe people drank more during COVID.
They sure did. because you know what? They didn't shut down liquor stores. They considered them an essential business.
I think you're right. And I bet you're glad they did. Marcia Lickridge, a great story. You were a school teacher at Amarillo at one point, and now you're the mother of Texas whiskey with Iron Root Republic Distillery. Please give your sons our best. We wish you continued success. Thanks a lot for the time.
Thank you. I appreciate you giving us a call.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.
For more of my conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.